Zippity-doo-dah, this is Prayer Rabbit, and I gotta tell you, I find a great laughing place listening to the Magic Our Way podcast with Kevin, Danny, Eli, and Rachel. Zippity-doo-dah!
Jumbo, everyone!
Harambe!
And welcome to another edition of...
The Magic Our Way!
Magic Our Way!
Magic Our Way!
Magic Our Way!
The Magic Our Way podcast!
They are truly magical and whatnot.
Asante sana, everyone. You're listening to the Magic Our Way podcast from New Orleans, Louisiana. And on this show, we invite you to feel the libations.
Feel it, feel it.
We are artistic buffs and not artistic cream puffs. This is a show in which every opinion is welcome. MagicOurWay.com is where you can find us. For this show, we discuss the Tiana poster, Disneyland's Pandora, and Iger's response to Epic Universe. And look, this isn't your typical polished practice pixie dust and Disney podcast. No way. We are not in the parks every day letting you know that the Tomorrowland Galactic Gateway booth was repainted at the Magic Kingdom.
That's right, Kev. We're just here to drink, talk some Disney, and wish you a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Kevin.
Happy birthday, Kev.
Thank you, guys.
Happy birthday, Kev.
Thank you. Kev.
That's right. And you listeners have the easy part. All you got to do is listen up to what we think up while we drink up and blow out the candles, apparently, today. So right on.
My name is Kevin.
And I'm Danny.
I'm Eli.
And I'm Rachel. And I want to do a quick little shout out to the Disney family, I guess. ESPN has been covering the NCAA basketball. And the women's championship was today, the day we're recording. And I feel like the whole Women's March Madness has just been covered so well by ESPN. They've brought in all female, like a commentator board.
Yeah.
They've had some really amazing Hall of Fame female basketball players. They've highlighted the power of women in sports. And so I just wanted to shout out ESPN for the great programming and great job they've done with women's sports for this basketball tournement.
Absolutely.
Here, here. Yeah. Nice.
Regardless of the fact that Caitlin Clark didn't win, they got us all invested in her journey. And I enjoyed it all the same.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. And look, we do have a special guest on the show. Special guest, who are you?
Oh, talk about me. Hey.
Hey. Have mercy.
I was like, where are those crickets from the bayou? Can you hear them?
I have traveled all the way down the bayou, up that Salt Dome Mine, whatever the hell it is, and I've splashed down into the Magic Hallway Studios to share my newest ingredient with y'all.
Very nice. And look, y'all, the easiest way to support all of this is to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and or wherever you access our show. Also, be sure to like and subscribe, as well as turn on those notifications so you never miss an episode of the Magic Hallway Podcast. So look, y'all, enough of our jibber jabber. We got a lot of news to get to. So let's go discuss some magic. Welcome to The Queue, the segment in which we get to discuss all the news and happenings in the world of Disney today. And we are recording this on Sunday, April 7th, 2024. And the week preceding this saw Disney revealing a lot of news, especially centered around their Florida properties. There's a bunch of things, man. So just a quick recap. Iger winning the shareholder vote. Compromises made between DeSantis and the state of Florida and the Walt Disney Company. The drone shows. Disneyland getting electronic Autopia vehicles. Tiana animatronics. Toy Story 5. Concept art for the new test track. And free roaming BDX droids in Galaxy's Edge. But we're not going to cover all that on this show.
There's only so much time.
Yeah, there's so much time that we have to cover. But there are certain things that we did want to cover. And that's what we're about to talk about today.
And we'll allude to other things as we go along.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of this stuff is interconnected with everything that has been going on, if you've been keeping up with the news. And it's just tons of stuff. So if y'all will allow me, I'd like to start off with this one.
You sent out a message that said that you wanted to do this, right?
I did. Yes, okay. I did.
This was a moment of passion for Kevin.
Yes,
it was. I think I texted y'all in the group. I posted in the group, and I even texted Kirk. It's listeners, not to belabor the point, but Tiana's Bayou Adventure poster was released early last week. Now, some of you new listeners may think, oh boy, here's another New Orleans person up in arms about all this. It's just a kid's ride, and you might be tired of hearing or reading negative Disney posts about it. But one of the reasons why we started this podcast is because I felt like there is a population of Disney fans whose opinions were being shoved aside by those who are, as we would call, pixie dusters or mm-hmm. rose-colored glasswearers, if you will.
Sure.
As I mentioned, I posted on the Magic Hour Pleasure Island Facebook group. If you're not part of that, please join in the fun there. You'll get to meet all the Mohicans and chat with all of us. I sent it to our internal group chat of the podcast and even messaged out Kirk, because when they released this, man, I felt something. I went on a rampage. I was very emotional with it. And
it made you feel a way.
It made me feel a way. That is exactly right. That's a perfect way to say it, actually.
Okay.
And it wasn't a positive way. No, it was not. It was not in a good way. And why do you think I might have just been, just guess, why do you think I would have been up in arms about this poster?
Because it looks even more like a mountain than what it did before.
Yes. I mean, that's my main thing. That's one of the things. I was like, this is a blatant lack of attention to detail, which Disney was really known for. Attention to detail in all aspects. But here it is. Their official poster for the Tiana's ride, which they've been documenting that it's been testing and it's supposed to open up. I don't know, Rachel, was it supposed to open up in the summer? Did you get any news for that?
No news yet. So, yeah, summer is what they're saying. I'm still in the June 10th camp. That's my guess. There's a lot of people who think all different things. I've heard like May 28th. That's right around Memorial Day weekend. I've heard June 10th. I've heard things in July. My reasoning for June 10th is that they like to open these things up in clusters. So like Tiana's wouldn't be the only thing that opens that day. There'd be other things. And June 10th is when like Communicore Hall is opening and some of the other things that are coming this summer are all coming online on June 10th. And so it felt like to me that would be a good place for Tiana's to pop in so that there's like other things that are drawing people to other parks on that same day.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, I could totally see that. And one of my reasons, of course, is because Memorial Day weekend, like you said, is the week before. People are thinking that, but they already have their crowds for that. And chances are they already have their crowds for July 4th. So there's not really driving anybody to the parks sometime in June. And June's usually historically kind of slower than the rest of the summer.
Right? Also, that coincides with Juneteenth. And that makes even more sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 People get a longer weekend, so they could definitely come down for that. So, yeah, it just gives them something else to push the crowds and distribute them the summer. So that totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if this was on your list, Kevin, but we've been getting a lot of critter news lately.
Critter news.
Yeah. Have you been following the critter news?
What is the critter? Are you talking about like the musician, the critters, the band? Yeah.
Yes. So it turns out that, at least from what I'm reading, it turns out that the missing ingredient she's been looking for is a band for the party. And so she's going to be going on this bayou adventure to find a band. And she's collecting all these critters that play musical instruments. And so we've gotten like a lot of news articles lately about the names and bios of the different critters that will be playing in this band that Tiana is gathering in the bayou.
So that's the story. We're going to watch her recruit these animals to be a part of her band.
So. Yeah, I believe so. No. That's what I have taken from the most recent article.
It's like Blues Brothers.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
A little bit. Yeah. So yeah. So I think that's going to end up being the storyline. But it sounds to me like the critters are going to be sort of the, not the focus, but they're going to be a big part of the story. And so we've been hearing about all these critters and we've been seeing pictures of them and their bios and all that good stuff. And of course, you know, marketing is going to be making plushes out of these like there's no tomorrow. So
absolutely.
So for all of you out there who wanted original characters, here you go.
Mm-hmm. Yes, lots of original characters. So if you're interested in original characters, check out the Disney Parks blog. They've been dropping the bios of these critters. But I got to tell you, I couldn't care less about the critters. Every time there's been news article, I'm like, is there a date yet? No. Okay, great. Yeah, they're cute. Those are cute illustrations.
I'd want the drummer just because.
Yeah.
And I hope he comes with a set of drums.
The drummer's actually a female beaver.
I want to laugh, name is but I'm like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, her name is. Yeah. I do not know how to pronounce this name. It's Byhalia or Byhalia. It's B Y H A L I A, the beaver.
B Y.
She doesn't just build dams, guys. She helps build musical instruments using natural materials from the bayou. She's a strong-willed percussionist, and it's safe to say she is the heartbeat of the band, as well as a natural designer and engineer.
Wow. Wait, what?
Well, there you go.
All right.
Actually, most of the critters that were released in the first release are female critters.
Okay.
It's a all female band. Okay.
It's the Cajun Spice Girls.
It is. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is not. It is not. It is
the
not.
Lead singer's name,
Cajun Spice Girl.
Cayenne would be one. Yeah.
Gator Spice. And
Slap Your Baba Spice.
Filet Spice.
Tony Shaffer is Zatarain's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not all. There's three and three.
Oh, actually. Okay. It was fine.
Now that I'm looking at it, it's even. Now that
all right. So three and three. It's three guys, three girls.
Looking through all of these, and they do not have the one swamp critter beside an alligator that you would think of.
What, Nutria?
They don't have a Nutria.
They need a Nutria.
Are you sure that they don't have a Nutria?
You got a possum.
Yeah.
You got turtles. You got rabbits, gray foxes, bears.
Oh, my.
But no Nutrias.
Yeah. All right. Well,
there you go.
Well, yeah, maybe in the ride somewhere. They can't all be in the band. I mean, some of them didn't make the cut, I'm sure.
No,
there's something else that's missing. No frogs.
No frogs.
No frogs.
You should come up with something that's inspired by The Princess and the Frog. You would have at least one frog in there. Maybe that's it. Maybe Tiana or Naveen transform back into a frog.
Okay.
Play in the band.
That would be cool.
Critter news. Okay.
Wow. Lots of critter news. Yeah, maybe we'll have more critters this week. No dates, but critters.
No dates, but critters. But we do have a poster, and the poster looks crazy like the original poster of Splash Mountain, just without the little tree stuck at the top. I'm just like, man, that just seems lazy. You know?
Just the look?
Just, yeah, they look the same, essentially.
Yeah.
Exact same kind of thing, just without the tree.
Nah, I mean, know. Tiana's Bayou Adventure has a lot less imagination to it. I mean, it's just her standing there with her arms out like, hey, look at my new ride. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other one is Brer Rabbit, Brer Fox, and Brer Bear actually splashing down
into the Briar Patch. That. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, because the poster for Splash Mountain actually shows you what you are in store for. This exciting ride tumbling down a mountain into the water. This one tells you nothing. So you got Tiana and the critters.
Yeah. Needless to say, I'm not terribly happy with this. You know, and I'm going to stick to that story. I will give the ride a chance. I'm not going to be one of those just like, you know, I'm just going to reject it just flat out based on principle. I'll at least give it a chance and ride it. But I went round and round with this. The people that don't get it, what they don't know, they don't know. But then again, I called a question if they hear us and then we're calling out something and there's an issue with it, but they still persist with that, then I don't know. I just don't like it. It's lack of attention to detail, and it just doesn't respect the culture that we're in.
It's a bit of a downgrade, but
the font's nice.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's nice.
It tells you nothing about the ride.
I mean, sure, it doesn't say the Bayou's got talent, but.
Well, I think they're trying to sell plushies. That's well, what I think is what the whole critter thing is about. They're selling plushies.
Well, I don't want the mountain. If I was better with whatever you call it, the Adobe.
Photoshop.
Yeah, if I was better with that, I would have removed the mountains and entered to like cypress trees just to make it better.
Yeah, like not feature the ride.
Yeah, yeah. At least make it look like it's in a bayou. Convince me that you actually came here and researched and know what the heck's going on.
Some of the scenes that we've sort of seen from concept art and different things do look very bayou-like inside the attraction.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? Like maybe not the outside, but inside does.
Sure.
And so why not make the attraction poster one of those scenes from inside the attraction where she could have the critters next to her? And we've seen now the video of these incredible animatronics they're going to have, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah,
she looks amazing. Lewis the alligator looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited for the new animatronics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish the poster had featured one of those scenes instead of being so reminiscent of the original attraction poster.
I can see Kevin's point to where when you see the words Tiana's Bayou Adventure and you get something that looks nothing like a bayou. It's a little
off-putting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is that we're talking about those animatronic characters that they released, that video that they released as part of their YouTube series. We call it Imagineering.
Yeah.
They had Stella Chase Reese come to the studio and witness all this.
That's cool.
So it's cool, but it also makes it look like that she would endorse the entire ride. You know what I mean? And it's like, Stella, no disrespect to you, but you know it's in a mountain. You know, you're from here. And I don't know if this is just a lay of the land of New Orleans, if I should be upset with New Orleans not being like, hey, you're not representing us well or the area well. But I don't know. That makes me feel like you're spinning it to make it look like locals are okay with this.
Well, they've been doing that all along. They've been releasing video. Oh, look at us. We went down to New Orleans and we've talked to these people, we've talked to those people, and we've done our research, and they're doing that in the hopes of showing, yeah, the city of New Orleans endorses what we're doing here. Having said that, I've kind of accepted that this is what's going to happen. So I'm just, it can't hurt me anymore, Kevin.
No. Yeah.
And you just have to accept that it's not going to make sense. This is what they're doing and move on from it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I'm not going to accept that.
I get it.
I'm going to stick to my guns on this. Is, you know, having grown up here, it's like, you know, come on, y'all. It's almost like Lilo and Stitch with the Hawaiians. You know, I can kind of see where they were coming from. Where it's like, yeah, big thighed Hawaiians. That's what they drew all over the cartoon and stuff. And that doesn't represent them. But at the same time, yes, I know this is what's going to happen. And who knows? Maybe it'll be just like Chess Track 2.0 and it'll close in like how many years? And then people may make the argument, well, then you lose that representation. But then it's like, if all this is just have that particular character and a thing to call it representation, but not dig any deeper into the culture she's from, is it even worth it to do it that way?
I don't think that they're thinking about it that deeply.
They're not. That's the problem. That is the problem. We're going to represent this person here because that's what our character is, and we're just going to throw it in. It's going to be great.
If they would have thought about it that deeply, Kevin, they would have kept the story of Br'er Rabbit, Br'er Fox, and Br'er Bear, because that has way more to do than with African-American culture than what Tiana does.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Personally, I think we have to get Tiana into the park as quickly as we can, and this was a lot quicker than building her own attraction, which she deserves. Plus, we get rid of this old, dated movie attraction. We solve both our problems. You can have some pissed off people, but we're going to dismiss them because we know why they don't want Tiana in the Magic Kingdom, which that is the furthest thing from the truth. But the new argument I've heard now is that, well, there's no mountains in Louisiana. Oh, but do you have swamp animals that play instruments in Louisiana? Wow. That's just diminishing the whole damn argument.
That's the dumbest argument I've ever heard in my life. Yeah.
And I saw one the other day, this one got to me, arguing that Louisiana does not belong in Frontierland, but a bayou does not belong in Frontierland. Other person coming up, well, Louisiana was part of the Louisiana Purchase, and Louisiana Purchase was the American frontier.
Wait, here's the thing, Kirk. I would say
that is accurate.
Yeah. I would say at one point, because it was, you know, the country was very centralized to the 13 colonies. So anything west of that would have been the crazy frontier. And the frontier grew as the population moved west, right? So I would accept that definition if they made beyond Big Thunder Mountain that area, right? So when you go beyond Big Thunder Mountain, and this is what I'm thinking, because I was thinking about a road trip I took on Interstate 20 coming from Los Angeles all the way back to New Orleans. Once you cross through Texas and you get into Louisiana, it is nothing but forest. You go from straight desert to nothing but forest. Mm-hmm. So if I were to go past Big Thunder Mountain and encounter like a forested area, then you got the bayou, then you got Davy Crockett's world, you know, that whole area. You got all those kind of stories that they've had, you know, west of the Appalachians and all that kind of stuff, which they could have done for beyond Big Thunder Mountain.
Y'all are thinking about this way too much.
Yeah, Aldo was going on.
Stay offline, Kirk.
Yeah.
Quit reading. Like, go to Magic Our Way, Pleasure Island. The people there have nice much better conversations.
Good people.
I mean, this is the seventh circle of hell of reasoning that I feel we've gotten into somehow.
I get offline every once in a while. Back away. I can't do this anymore. It's actually messing with my mental health.
But you know, I'm not gonna accept a mountain in the bayou.
No, okay, that's wrong. But
it doesn't matter.
But it's happening.
It's happening.
A lot of things happen, but that doesn't mean I have to like it, right?
You don't have to like it.
But
it's happening.
But it's, you got to accept the things
that you cannot change.
Exactly.
And I have a platform in which I can say this is bullshit.
And we have.
And that's what we have.
We have for years.
Absolutely. You're going to be all right, though, once you start releasing more and more stuff about this, because now I'm starting to worry about you as a friend.
No, and here's the thing. It's like people are just accepting because they just want to get that ride system back online so they have a drop.
I mean, it's your birthday. It's your birthday. We're not getting any younger. You know, I want your chest to stop because this ride is happening.
The majority of people, yes. That's why they're accepting. The majority of New Orleanians are just accepting it because, well, at least we're being represented now. And it's not that big of a deal. We've had enough time to process this. This is where it's going. That's where I'm at.
That sounds lazy, though, to me.
No.
I mean, but it sounds typical of what our people do.
It's a fad now.
Okay, yeah. So it's like, oh, we're like, the news media wants to represent New Orleans as Bourbon Street only, and that's it. It's like, okay, yeah, whatever. They don't know the truth.
It seems to me to be lazy, storytelling from the Imagineer's perspective, but... That's kind of what they're known for lately.
Yeah, I mean, this is true.
Would I hope for better for them? Yes. Am I going to get my blood pressure up every single time I see a concept art or a poster or animatronics for this ride? No. I mean, at this point in time, this is what's happening, but like, I don't take it seriously anymore. It's more of a sense of, yeah, look.
Well, I'll do for the both of us.
Yeah.
I'll do it for both of us. I'll stick to that.
Carrying that torch.
I will.
And Kevin, this is the reason why my reaction to that poster was exactly what it was.
Yeah, I laughed.
I will just join the crowd. This is the most awesome thing ever. I can't believe it. I'm so excited and pumped to ride this. This is just the best thing they have ever done.
You
they
need put to do hearts on your post.
Is every reaction an extreme reaction? Can it just be like, they could have done this better? Having said that, I'm not going to get pissed off about the fact that they're shoving it in my face that it's still a mountain.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I can value how you all are feeling about the representation of the place that you live in. Like, I value that for sure.
Yeah.
I am mostly excited for this to come online. I guess I wonder, like, how closely Frozen mirrors Norway. I wonder if it does. I don't know. I've never been to Norway, so I don't really know exactly what it's like. But I guess I'm just like, to some extent, right, these things all are fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the moment, I'm kind of thinking of this as fantasy New Orleans. And in fantasy New Orleans, there's
a mountain.
Mountains. And or there are elevated bayous. Let's call it an elevated bayou.
And I like that.
It looks tiered. There's a tiered elevated bayou. Mm-hmm. And inside this tiered elevated bayou, there are lovely critters that are enchanting. And they play little instruments. And yeah. I'm looking forward to meeting them and trying not to buy them for my children.
Oh, man, I like the critters. You know, their musicians are great. You know, they're probably union too, so that's good.
Yeah, so, they probably are. They probably are, 100%.
Well, they have to be with Disney, yeah, if they're going to play in the park. They have to be union, yeah.
Yes. Support local musicians.
Yeah, that's right. They got to eat too.
Yeah, I don't knock those musicians for taking the gig. I totally understand that.
All right.
But still, mountains. Okay.
Yes, a mountain is going too far. Absolutely. It's like putting penguins in Africa.
Well, yeah.
That jarring.
Well, that Madagascar movie, I think, did that.
Did they?
Penguins in Africa.
Wow. Yeah, I checked out of Madagascar, I think, after the first one. But yeah, it's jarring. But this has been going on for years now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My outrage.
I'd like to interject something.
Sure.
I would like to just counter with one thing. I'm going to drop it at that. Frozen movie attraction, nowhere does it say that it's supposed to be in Norway.
True.
But look, those animatronics look amazing. The ride system is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, like I've said before, I'm sure this will be a banger attraction. They could do it. Disney, they could do an awesome job with it.
I don't know if it's going to be awesome. Like, I still haven't seen Dr. Facilier show up yet. If all this is about going around and watching.
That's the one place, I've said it from the beginning, if they do not have Dr. Facilier being the reason for that drop, it's a fail.
I don't think he's coming.
I don't think he's coming either.
I really don't think he's coming. Yep.
I don't have my hopes up.
Maybe he'll have his own drop in the villains part.
Yeah. They need to do something with him. But yeah, no, would it be a tragedy if he's not included? I tend to agree that that's just really, that's going from bad storytelling to making it much, much, much worse.
Sure, sure.
Because you just took out one of the key ingredients that makes that movie so great.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, we're curious to know what you guys think. Feel free to shoot at me. I don't mind. I'll defend my point.
Come at me, bro.
If you're not from here, then just be prepared to defend your point.
Yeah, so, and I'm not trying to indicate that
where yeah.
You don't have a point. You do absolutely have a point. Yeah, yeah. Kirk has a point. It's just like I've become accustomed to this. Yeah, I've accepted it. Now it can't hurt me.
I'll fight the good fight.
And that's how healing starts.
Right.
Yes.
Bring on that dark universe now.
Oh.
Bring me the monster.
I know. That's right. This is true. I got choices now to
Can't
make.
Can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. Show at magicourway.com. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. We'll All see right. what wins out between lazy imagineering and really well done theming.
Yep. Next thing up, after Iger won his seat back on the board and all that kind of stuff, the proxy stuff. You know, a lot of news has been coming out as far as things are going they're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that came out is happening over in Disneyland. And they released a rendering of Pandora, the World of Avatar, which is coming to Disneyland Resort in mm-hmm. California. And if I remember, it's just that one piece, right?
That's the only one I saw.
What do you guys think of the whole concept of the fact that Pandora is going out west? as well as what you're seeing in the concept art.
The concept art is gorgeous.
As always.
Yeah, beautiful.
I mean, I'm not even a huge fan of Avatar, and I want to visit there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as soon as I saw the whole possible Avatar experience, I was like, dude, again with this sh-. Like, why do they keep continuing to tease its fans with concept art for things that they're still debating whether or not they're actually going to build? But reading through it, it clearly seems like they're just trying to get everyone excited about this Disneyland Forward proposal.
Yes.
Yeah, that the Anaheim City Council is voting on. So
it feels political a little bit. It's like, give us the permission. Mm-hmm. Look, everybody wants it. And if you say no, and you're the reason it doesn't happen, you'll be unpopular.
Thank you. That's exactly it.
Yep.
And as a fan, it's kind of cruel that they keep sharing images of something that may or may not happen. And even if it does happen, what's the likelihood we're going to get something that looks like this?
Exactly.
You know,
well, that's the thing. Yeah,
I hope so.
Well, the Pandora area in Animal Kingdom is beautiful. I mean, I'm thinking, like, when we first heard they were going to do it and they were going to do the floating mountains, I was like, how is that going to look real or realistic in any way? And it's amazing. I mean, it looks beautiful. So I feel like they could make a space that looks just like this.
Oh, I think they could. But I mean, yeah, I tell you what, that original concept art for Tiana's Bayou Adventure looked a lot more amazing when they had Mama Odie's house at the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd it go?
Into the ether.
It's gone. Like, sometimes they change up those concept art and it's like, oh, you thought you were getting this, but you're really kind of getting that.
Yeah, it's like McDonald's, right? You get a picture of a burger, like, that looks cool when you see it on the commercial. That's what the concept art is to be there when you go to actually get the burger. Like, what is this flappy piece of meat on this bad burger? I just don't want the meat to be flappy.
Mm-hmm. But if they do it, if they do deliver on that burger, that's going to be really, 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 really
cool. Well, that would be a serious game changer, but Disney really, to me, has never shown me what you see is what you're going to get.
No.
You may get a couple of pieces, but you may not get that nice, fancy burger that you want.
Oh, I don't know. I just Googled up some of the old concept art of Pandora, the World of Avatar for Disney World, and I think it delivers, guys.
Okay.
It looked pretty, like the floating mountains, like the three big rocks in the center. Is it like, it's there. That's pretty much what it looks like.
I remember that when we first started hearing about those floating mountains were supposed to move.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That didn't happen. And then we get to ride an Ivory River Journey. And we're like, that's really short. And it's like, sometimes, I don't know. I cannot tell you. Like, we all saw those boats. And the first thing you think, obviously, is the Shanghai Pirates of the Caribbean ride, right?
Yeah.
And who wouldn't want to be on that thing at night? I mean, it looks amazing. I mean, I hope that you're right, Rachel. I really do. I've just, again, slight trepidation, just felt like it was worth mentioning that sometimes you get it and it just doesn't quite look the same or resonate the same way.
Yeah. And if it's supposed to be what it promises to be, then it would be awesome. But for what I read, it was almost like they had these trickery words to it, like maybe someday, hope, possibly, like, you know, that kind of combination of sentences like that. I call it political talk. Like, I don't understand what you meant. You're confusing me.
They don't have permission yet to build in the area where they're talking about putting it.
That's exactly what it is. Vote for us and you might get this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where is the area they're talking about putting it? Is it Disneyland itself or is it off?
I don't think they've really said so.
They haven't been really specific.
Right.
But I know that the expansion is supposed to be like what is currently a parking lot outside of California Adventure. Mm-hmm. And so it would expand out that way.
Right.
And so it would probably be part of that Disneyland Forward expansion that they talked about previously, but they didn't say exactly where this land would be.
It's going to be tight regardless of where they put it.
Oh yeah, it's going to be tight. Mm-hmm. It really is. And I don't even know how it fits. I don't even know.
Well, probably about the same as Galaxy's Edge fits.
Yeah, so it probably does belong in Disneyland, but if they put it in California, I have no, as long as they build this, I'm good.
Yeah.
You like it? Yeah. I mean, I'm not a fan of the Avatar IP. I don't even, I believe this is based on the second movie. I haven't even seen the second movie. I haven't
seen the second movie either. Yeah.
But like, much like we discussed the other week, great attractions don't always have to be connected to a great movie, just to a really great world that is worth exploring. I mean, there's a lot of Tim Burton movies that I like, but they're far from cinematic masterpieces. But what they do is deliver a world that is fascinating that you just can't wait to explore. That to me is this. I think this is a land well worth exploring, and I hope they do it. Yeah. And it'll definitely be open at night.
This is true.
It's the good news.
You might, maybe you'll get the better version, and they'll see, they figure out a way to do it at Animal Kingdom, which I think we talked about last week.
The only thing I would say is that this is going to put Pandora in Animal Kingdom to shame.
Well, right now, just from the concept art, it really just looks like one attraction.
It does, but I would take that one attraction over to both of the attractions at Animal Kingdom, if that's what we think it is.
You think it's going to be different?
What?
The different attraction? You don't think it's going to be like Flights of Passage?
No. They're not. Well, no,
it looks like a big boat ride.
Oh, they're saying it's a big boat ride.
It's okay. A boat ride, and it looks like the Shanghai Pirates of the Caribbean attraction.
Yeah. Oh, that would be cool.
And I would take that over a simulator and half a boat ride.
But that's the thing, you know, it's like the simulator would take up a lot less room in a tight footprint versus like a big show building like the Shanghai suggests to me.
Then that's a good question. Let's ask that then. Okay, would y'all rather Flight of Passage and Navi River Journey or a newer Avatar attraction built around that Shanghai ride boat ride system? Yeah.
Oh, no, I'd do the Shanghai system in a heartbeat.
Option B.
Yeah.
Rachel?
I love Flight of Passage. Flight of Passage forever.
Wow. I knew she was going to say that.
Man, okay. You know, her passion is just like me with the Tiana thing. So,
I like the idea of, like, Kirk, go ahead. What was your vote?
Oh, something different. They'll take advantage of having the same IP, both coasts, different attractions.
I do like that.
Same.
I like that too. Absolutely. That's marketing genius right there.
I hate the fact that I can see, like, when I was a kid, I used to be like, why can't they build this in Disney World? Because I can only go there because my parents will only drive. But now that I'm older and I can go either place, it's like, yeah, I love the idea. Go there, experience something different. Go there, experience something else. Yeah, I like that.
When we go to Disneyland, we almost never even visit Galaxy's Edge because it's exactly the same.
Exactly,
there's
the
minor meaningless differences, but there's not a lot of reason to go over there. So we spend our time doing other stuff. But yeah, I would love to have something over there that's different. Gives us a different way to experience that property.
Yeah. I've got a question. We're getting this tease of this Avatar style attraction coming to Disneyland California Adventure, but we haven't heard word one about that Avengers e-ticket attraction.
Mm. Ooh.
Like, is it just me or are they just giving up on Marvel?
Don't hurt my feelings.
Well, okay. So it was the last D23. We saw like new concept art for that one that was going to have
King Thanos
in it. Yeah, the King Thanos. We haven't heard more about that recently, but that was so specific.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if that wasn't moving forward. What they released this week around this Avatar thing, it really felt political to me more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that this is necessarily them being like, oh, this is the next thing we're working on. Okay. I think this is like they're growing a portfolio of reasons for Anaheim to let them do this major expansion.
Okay.
And so this was like a timed, placed piece of the puzzle for them to say, hey, this is one more thing that we want you to give us permission for, that we'd be bringing to Anaheim, we'd be bringing more people here. But I don't think it necessarily was them saying like, this is the next thing we're working on. I think that King Thanos thing could still come sooner.
I hope so. I just haven't seen any indication of any building, any permits, anything.
No pictures with Kevin Feige or nothing like that.
I'll say it's option B that Danny brought up. They've given up on Marvel.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe because all the, I mean, I don't know. It's just spec, but maybe with all the Jonathan Majors drama and all that other stuff, maybe like, hey, we're just going to let this all cool down before we jump into it. But yeah, I haven't seen any sort of hype or any pictures of Imagineers standing by something that was Marvel related, said, hey, tweet this is happening, or X this.
Well, what's the next Marvel movie coming out? Yeah, we're all looking forward to.
I'm looking forward to Deadpool, actually.
Deadpool 3?
Deadpool is the next one. That's Deadpool and Wolverine. That's the next movie.
Because I've enjoyed the first two Deadpools, so I'm curious to see how this goes.
I am too, because if this movie really does well, this is going to look bad.
Yeah.
Because this is Sony's Deadpool, Sony's Wolverine.
Yeah.
It's just being made under the Disney umbrella.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I was getting at. Is like they have, you have, okay, if you want to stick it with an area, which is what I should have been doing with Galaxy's Edge. Galaxy's Edge, make your planet, but don't set it anywhere. That's where they went wrong. They set it, this takes place during the sequels. They could have just been this generic and just could have thrown anybody in there from any time period.
Yeah, I don't blame them for what they did. I think that they thought that there were a lot more Star Wars stories coming up than what there would be in the past, and they still had access to Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, and they could have brought him into it. It just, they didn't expect these movies to go as badly as they did.
Or people to die.
And that did happen.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So let us know what you think about this whole Pandora thing, man. Show at magicarway.com. And the last thing we have comes way of the annual shareholders meeting, and specifically the Q&A section where Bob Iger answered a bunch of different questions from the shareholders about specific things. And one thing we want to pinpoint on is this. There was a shareholder that asked a question, and I was going to play the clip, but I'm like, I don't want to get in trouble, so I'm just going to read it. Because a lot of people out there have already transcribed it. So
you're going to read the question in your best robot voice?
Yes. So this is what the question was answered. Why hasn't Disney prepared anything or placed more than just a handful of attractions in the pipeline to be ready in 2025 at Walt Disney World? The unidentified stakeholder said. And this is in response to Epic Universe. And we just covered 6 weeks of Epic Universe stuff and all the things that are going on. And basically the question is like, why haven't y'all been releasing anything that says, hey, yeah, we got to answer this? And Bob says, and I quote, thank you very much for your question, which you did the entire time. So we thanked everybody for their question. But that just couldn't be further from the truth. We've been aware of Universal's plan for a new park for more than a decade. And we have a sophisticated approach to analyzing the needs of all our businesses and strategically deploying capital. And then he continued to reel off a list of things that he's already done in preparation for this new park by Universal. And the things that included was the opening of Pandora, Toy Story Land, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, Mickey's Minnie's Runaway Railway. And I quote, he says, it's a multi-year, multi-billion dollar transformation of Epcot Center. And he added attractions like Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, Moana's Journey of Water, the expansion at Epcot, Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. And he said, because of this, he says, and I quote, by staggering these major launches, we've been able to commercially and operationally optimize our new offerings over time rather than having to do it all at once. And there you go. And so just to kind of tie on, this is another question that another shareholder was kind of related to this. If you remember back in D23, they mentioned something about investing $60 billion. I don't know if it was D23 or Destination. Yeah. But yeah, it was $60 billion investment in the parks is what Iger said. Y'all remember that, right?
Yeah, it was like worldwide.
Yes. Yeah, and he asked, was like, well, when are we going to, basically the shareholder's like, when are we going to see what you're planning to do with this? And Iger said, quote, he says, you know, we have a lot of projects in development. Many of them are known to us, but we disclose these at a cadence and when we really feel like we're ready and we have something more tangible to show people, end quote. So there it is. So apparently, you know, I didn't realize it. I didn't notice it, but apparently Disney's been accounting for Epic Disney. Epic Universe is Epic Disney.
We already have Epic Disney. Stop asking questions.
That's right. We were prepared. We knew this decade ago, even though, like, you know, 2019 is when they released the plans for that.
Yeah, I remember saying that in our Facebook group that it was like an M. Night Shyamalan plot twist
where
it turns out Disney's response to Epic Universe was in the parks all along.
That's right.
We just
That's
never right. saw it.
The call was coming from inside the house. What do you guys think about this? I mean, apparently, there it is. You know, they already have their answer to Epic Universe. Wow,
Bob Iger isn't this stupid. He thinks we're this stupid, but he's not this stupid. He knows.
This podcast is not that stupid.
Don't sit say.
They're smart as hell.
He knows that they've got work to do, and that's why you're seeing a lot of stuff. We just got work. Test Track is going forward. They're looking into Beyond.
That's going to close June.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupt you, but just so people know, June is when Test Track is going to close.
Yeah, worthwhile knowing, because yeah, that's going to be one of the best rides at Epcot down during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is not the reaction to Epic Universe. This is just them having done things along the way to entice people to come back, especially after COVID, because a lot of this stuff we were supposed to be getting for Disney's 50th, right?
Yeah.
So that's what the majority of this is coming from, not some staggered BS response.
Well, you know, his response was a reaction, but I doubt they were being proactive about Epic Universe.
Did you not see Tiana is getting her own attraction, guys?
How could we miss
Epic Universe? What is Epic Universe? Bayou Adventure, plushies, critters, playing instruments.
All right. I've thought a little bit about his answer. First of all, if anybody's on our Facebook group, they saw that my initial reaction to the answer was like,
chef's kiss. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I was flabbergasted. Like, how is that a response? It's just not a response. It's not an acceptable response.
Your response was perfect, by the way. I'll just say that. That was awesome.
Okay. And I think it looks bad. And I think it is, it's like a lack of imagination, I think, in that response, which is really a bummer. So I was disappointed. But I also do think, in reality, if his point is, we have put these things, right? So I think he even cited as far back as Pandora.
Yes, he did.
Animal Kingdom.
He did.
Which is like wild. That had nothing to do with Epic Universe. Anyway.
Right.
Whatever. So if we take all those things, like from Pandora to today, if those are all a cumulative response, and what he's really saying is, yes, Epic Universe will come online. Yes, we will lose some temporary market share, but I believe that long term, we have enough here that people are going to still need to come here. We're still going to be a draw. I can accept that answer. I don't love it, but I can accept that as a reasonable response. I just think that it's lame.
It is.
Oh, it's a absolutely lame.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It would be like, this is a bad metaphor, but I'm going to try it anyway. It would be like Tom Brady losing a whole bunch of games. And then people saying like, Tom, aren't you worried? And him being like, well, I mean, I've won so many. My legacy is really fine. Like, mm-hmm. people are going to be fine with me anyway. And it's like, I guess that's true. Sure. But like, is that how you want to go out? Like,
right.
Right. Like he, and as a New England fan, right. Like Tom Brady went out trying, and it does feel a little bit in that quote, like Disney's not interested in going out trying. They're like, we've already done our best. I think people will want it anyway, which is maybe true, but it's kind of a bummer.
Well, it is true to a certain extent, because Disney has something that I don't think Universal will ever have. Disney has emotions. They have that attachment. Dennis brought up many times. We're all attached to Disney from our childhood, and I don't think that's stopping anytime soon.
Right.
Because I've seen even the newer generations, as their kids, they're still being raised on those Disney movies, those Disney stories. Mm-hmm. And we don't just don't go to Disney and have a good time. You don't have a whole podcast over 10 years dedicated to a place that you just, hey, I like to go there. No, you're mostly attached. You have an emotional investment in that. And that's what Disney's counting on. Yeah. I think that's what Iger's counting on. There will always be people that want to go to Disney because that's what they love. And I think it's true.
We talked about this when we saw what the Donkey Kong coaster was going to be. And we said it on the show, like, it made us mad at Disney because we were like, you're our guy. You're the company that we're backing. Yeah. Y'all should be the one doing this.
They could have done that easily.
And it does. It ticks you off, to use another sports analogy. Like Rachel said, it's like when your rival signs the best free agent and you're sitting there like, we could have afforded him. Why didn't we pick him up? Why didn't we do that? And that's kind of what it feels like. It feels like,
it's just disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're rooting for Disney. We want Disney to win. It's aggravation that our favorite team doesn't seem like they're all in, because we are.
Right.
Yeah, we have been.
Yeah, I've got the lack of money to prove it.
So that's right.
Yeah. Right. I've invested. I would like them to continue to invest. I think they will. I don't know. You'd think he would be very prepped for that question.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this was the answer that they thought was the best.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny you say that, because it's like when listening to the shareholder thing, that sounded like the least scripted part of the entire thing.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, well, it was that answer.
Well, shame on them for not prepping him then, if that's the case.
Yeah.
Because that seems like an obvious one that would come up. But I wish the answer had been, we're working on Tropical Americas. This is a really exciting land, and we're excited for what it's going to do for Animal Kingdom. We're working on other innovative spaces in Magic Kingdom that we've already promoed out in the last E23, and just wait until this year, you guys are going to get some great stuff. And that's it. Like, I wish that had been the answer.
It almost feels like Muhammad Ali's rope-a-dope. It's like, we'll let Universal have the thing beat us up a little bit, and then we'll come back with something bigger.
Yeah.
I think he's just trying to blow smoke up all of our asses and say, like, look, we're not getting ready to reply. We've been replying. It doesn't mean we're not going to reply more. I think he's just,
that's true.
One thing with Bob is that everything he says is just this word salad of buzzwords and bullshit.
Yeah.
Where he speaks a lot and says nothing.
Yeah.
But if you kind of listen to it, what he's trying to do is defend his past while also saying there will be a future. So I think that was his way of saying, guys, it's not like we've done nothing. Now, I would disagree that all this has been in preparation for Epic Universe opening. Yeah. I think that's, again, a lot of this went wrong with COVID, and we should have gotten most of this a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But if you're telling us that you've been prepping for Epic Universe by making the guest vacations more complicated, more expensive, and slowly opening attractions that ultimately proved to be, well, some of them proved to be a little bit underwhelming. I wouldn't say disappointing, but I would say, you know, some...
Galactic Star Cruiser already doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's like, to your point, at one point in the shareholder thing, he's like, one of his points that he stressed was like, oh, yeah, we already expanded park hopping capabilities. I'm like, no, you didn't.
No.
You just released the COVID restrictions that you'd initially put on it.
Right. You gave you us didn't expand back
nothing.
COVID. Right. Yeah. You gave us back park hopping. You didn't give it to us like this is some brand new feature. Like, yeah, it does feel like he thinks he's talking to idiots.
He could make so many people happy and sell so many more tickets by just bringing back Magical Express.
Yeah.
Whatever logistics are needed in there, whatever agreements you're going to do with whoever, just do that and you can make so many people happy.
Yeah, Susanna Bucci said that in the group, and I thought that was a great response.
What's funny about Magical Express is that when they had the whole compromise with the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District, they got one of the key former CEOs that was the engine behind Magical Express onto that board.
Mm.
So now he has like a player in that game. But that's a whole different conversation about how that all went down.
And now more than ever, where Universal with Epic Universe is going to become a legit four-day park. There's no way you can see everything in Epic Universe in a day.
No, that's
there's
a lot.
Just no way.
That's a lot.
That's legit going to be afforded at any point in time where you want to be like, we're kidnapping you, we're bringing you here, and you're going nowhere until we take you back. That would be a really smart move, I would think, in today's world.
Yeah, in today's market, yeah, absolutely. I would have rather the Bob Iger that we had on the show, where you had those Wolf of Wall Street clips. At least that guy was a lot more aggressive. And I think he, Bob, that has never really demonstrates that. I get it when it's in a political front.
Mm-hmm.
He's a mastermind at that. But this is the brand that keeps you paid. First thing you pull and tell me, I got this coming, that's coming. We're going to blow your mind away. Don't listen to these fools. They're just imposters. That's what you would hope to hear from the president of a multi-billion-dollar company or something when it comes to the competition that's knocking on the door, but you're not getting that.
It does seem like a disingenuous response, too, also when you have the situation where it's almost like if you're in a relationship with somebody and they mess up and they're trying to make nice with you. So what do? They give you
a gift backstory.
No, they give you like a gift they gave to their old girlfriend because that's what it feels like. It's like, you know what? I bet you guys would like that Ratatouille ride we built 10 years ago. You want that? Would that make you feel better? What about the Tron ride that you've been looking at from afar for you? What if I bring you? That's like, no, we want you to put
in 5 years.
Yes. Yeah, we want you to put some thought into something original for us.
Yes, that you
we've
promised.
Already seen this on YouTube. We've already kind of made our peace with not doing this. I mean, who wanted Moana Journey of Water? Not for nothing. I'm sure it's beautiful. I haven't seen it because who's going to book a vacation to go see that? Who thought that was the best way to showcase Moana in the parks? Ratatouille is good, but it was lame after first two or three rides. And I shouldn't say lame, tame. Tame is a better word for it. 10 years ago, if we'd have got Ratatouille, that's cool. But after seeing Gringotts and Hagrid's and Rise of the Resistance, this is going to be something that's going to bring people in. So I think there's a lot of great stuff coming, but I think that Bob just has to let everybody know. No. It's not like we just sat around and we're like, all right, Universal, bring it. And now we're scared. This is the scared Disney reaction to it. And now we're going to open up all this stuff. He has to make it sound like this. And that part of it, I do understand.
They're scared because that's why they had to come up with such a compromise.
Yeah.
I would imagine that's also why we got so much info dumped this past week.
Yeah.
That would coincide with all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The winner is the state of Florida because they're going to get those refunds anyway from either party. It doesn't really matter.
That is a good question, though, whether or not some stuff would have been put in motion a lot sooner if we didn't have to worry about the last couple of years of the fighting in between DeSantis and
Disney. That's probably true, yeah, because there's no roadblock. There wouldn't have been any roadblocks for them to do it.
But I'm glad they finally made nice. I mean, I'm glad everything's good now. I mean, the shackles are off, I hope.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have one shackle left, but that's on the federal level. So that's about it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do worry about the fact that if you go to Magic Kingdom, there's upwards of, 20 plus attractions to do.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Epcot, Hollywood Studios, Animal Kingdom. You're lucky if there's 10. You're lucky if there's 10 attractions to do. Get rid of all the meet and greets and the trails and the shows and all that kind of stuff. Like the stuff that you walk into, this is must see. Like, Rachel, if you're booking a trip to Animal Kingdom, what are the attractions you're saying don't leave until you've experienced these?
I mean, I'm definitely putting Flight of Passage on there. I'm also putting Navi River Journey on there. I know it's short, but the animatronic at the end is pretty incredible.
I like it.
When it works, yeah.
Yeah, I like it short, but yeah, I like it.
I mean, I wouldn't wait a long time for it, but you know, if you're going in the morning, if you go there first thing, it's like 15, 20 minutes. That's mm-hmm. worth it.
Okay.
Safari, you have to do Safari.
Yeah, that's three.
That's awesome. Expedition Everest is great.
Four.
And
that's where the wheels start to fall off the wagons.
You're going to say dinosaur, right?
Dinosaur, for sure.
All right, thank you.
And then
I'm wearing the damn shirt.
Fun. Collie?
I know you said no shows, but I really think the Lion King show is a must-see.
I like the Lion King show. Yeah.
Make time for the Lion King show. I do not love Collie River Rapids. Okay. In fact, I don't normally recommend it to people because a lot of people are nervous about getting that wet.
Okay.
You get wet on this.
But a lot of people like rafts rides. Like those are things they look forward to or their kids look forward to. So if you're a person that really likes raft rides, I think that's a great one. But there are a lot of people that don't like them because of the possibility of getting like head to toe soaked.
Soaked. Yeah.
I could see that.
So what about six or seven?
I'm with you. That's like six.
Six.
Let's throw in It's Tough to Be a Bug. That's seven attractions. You're paying $130-something a day for seven attractions.
Mm-hmm. And a park that closes early.
And the better ones, you have to pay half a day.
Yeah.
Look, Hollywood Studios. What are the must-see attractions there?
Rise of Resistance.
Okay.
Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
I think Alien Swirling Saucers is a really good time. I'm going to call that. That's good. No? My kids laugh and laugh. It's a blast. You little kids on it.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
She's got a different perspective, Danny. Accept it.
I'm okay. All I said was, ooh.
I'll be honest and say I wouldn't put that on my list because I like Junkyard's Jamboree better out west. It's the same thing. Yeah, it's the same thing, but I like that theming. That's beside the point.
So everyone's got a different definition of must see.
I'm up to three.
All right, start at the three.
Slinky Dog Dash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Toy Story Mania.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Rocking Roller Coaster is closed right now, but normally I would say that one.
Okay. I could see that. Tower of Terror. Okay. Yeah.
Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I really like Star Tours. I think that's cool and unique.
Okay. That's nine.
That's gotten classic.
So I'm up to nine.
You know, for me, it used to be the Indiana Jones stunt thing, but they haven't been running that as often. I used to love watching that.
And I think by this point in time, if people, A, are over Indiana Jones, and B, if you weren't, you pretty much know what's going on in that thing. It's not must see.
She missed a big one, but it's not obvious to people.
Fantasmic.
But there's still another one you're missing that not most people see. The park itself. That whole thing is a must-see.
Wrong. Muppets. That was the one.
I thought he was going Muppets. This is Kirk's favorite park.
Yeah,
I know. I forgot about that.
But y'all see how much of a struggle it is just to get up to 10 attractions.
10. I got to 10.
Yeah. That's a struggle. And there's some good disagreements to be had in there, but we're not going to disagree, obviously, because, I mean, everyone's got their own thing.
Sure.
But that's a struggle just to get to 10.
Yeah. Here's what I worry about for Disney. I know that over the last 5 to 10 years, their policy has been guests say we're too crowded. And so we have to address the crowds somehow. And so the way that they have chosen to address the crowds is by pricing people out.
Yeah, that's it.
And I understand that as a business philosophy. I really do. I don't love it. Obviously, who loves that?
No.
Right? But I do understand it. Like from a business standpoint, I'm like, okay, yeah, you got to get less people to come, but you don't want less people to come and make less money, right? You still have to grow your profits. And so the only way to do that is to charge more. Mm-hmm. And I understand. Okay. So that's been their strategy. Mm-hmm. What I'm worried about is people are going to end up in this situation where they're like, what am I going to do with my 1 week family vacation a year. And they're looking at their options. And for the last 5 years, Disney has said, were just going to be more and more expensive. And they haven't really addressed the crowd issue. It hasn't really gone away. Right? It's still a problem. So they haven't improved the guest experience, but they have charged more. It is better. They do talk about their attendance numbers, like the sheer number of people going in has decreased, but it hasn't decreased in a measurable way that people are coming home and saying, like, what a lovely trip. Yeah. What a lovely, like, crowd-free, easy vacation that was. And so now people are looking at, this thing has historically been way overpriced and the crowds haven't been solved. The vacation is not easier. And now I have choices I have to make. I'm worried that because of 5 to 10 years of people having that idea reinforced that we are more money and it's still crowded, that people are just going to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But I think Bob Iger's point about, like, well, we've been putting all this stuff into place that's already our response. Well, that's fine as long as people are going home and talking about what an amazing time they had. I don't know that that's what's happening. And so I don't know if you're going to end up seeing people that just have to go back or that just have to go see it versus now people are going to be buzzing about Universal. Mm-hmm. People are buzzing about other, you know, vacation destinations. I don't know. Does Disney become part of the conversation for people?
Once you start raising prices, like you just said, and now you have competition, now you're fighting over the same dollars because you've frozen out all the people who can. And I just don't see Disney ever going backwards and being like, you know what, we're cutting prices across the board. And
they have not been increasing them, though.
But I mean, historically, that's generally, it's like a 2.3, I think is what I heard, like 2.3% increase every year.
Well, the tickets have been even more than that.
Okay. Well, then, wow. But that's what I'm trying to say. It's like, you know, when it gets to that point where every single time you go, now you're forcing them to make a choice between Universal Studios and Disney. And Universal Studios offers a lot less of a complex vacation. Because, I mean, even going there and enjoying these really great rides, but you're paying an additional price to ride all those things, or you're spending in excess of an hour, hour and a half in line. And that's why I think when, you know, this whole thing gets downplayed and it's like, well, let's wait and let's see what happens and we'll respond. Because, I mean, there's nothing in the pipeline and you know how long it takes them to build something. If they're letting people go over to Universal Studios, you risk them falling in love. If Epic Universe is everything it is, it's supposed to be, you're going to take a hit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
You're going to take a huge hit and that hit's going to last if you can't build something in under 5 years.
This will fix the crowd problem really easy. Just let your competition take all your customers. You won't have no problem then when nobody, there will be a line. No problem.
But I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do over the next 5 years if Epic Universe really resonates.
If I had to give Universal a little bit of advice about Epic Universe, it would be if they could, and I don't know what their financials look like. I'm obviously not informed about that at all, but if they could figure out a way to get that to all come online and not dramatically increase their prices, they'd have a real competitive advantage.
Mm.
Then they run into the same crowded problem. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they price their new product.
By my count, like, we've got at least in Epic Universe alone is like at least 13 new attractions. And we don't even know officially everything they're going to have. But there's 13 must-see attractions. Oh, easily,
Tons of restaurants and bars all around the area. That's enough to spread people out.
Whereas look at what Disney's doing with the Animal Kingdom. Okay, so you're going to get Indiana Jones, but it's really just a reskin of Dinosaur. And if you've ridden the California version, that's not making you fly across the coast to come ride this one. So that's,
in fairness, whatever they put in for Encanto is just replacing, was it Primeval World?
World. And that'll do more business for sure. But I mean, my what I heard was something like it was supposed to be like a redone kind of Phantom Manor, but with Encanto.
So on the intermediate level.
Yeah, like something like that. So I could see that being a draw for sure, but now you're losing the Boneyard, which could keep kids there for like half an hour. Like, my kid would stay in the Boneyard for half an hour. A carousel?
So they're not adding capacity.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Where's the capacity coming from? How are you increasing things for people to do so that way we space out the crowds and the wait times are down?
Yeah. I think they just put a lot of pressure on D23 coming up in a few months. And that's going to be the big thing that we're going to see.
I'm excited.
I am too.
Yeah, I'm excited too. But only for because I'm curious to see what they say. Because right now, you know, I just spent 6 weeks being very excited about what the competition is doing.
Yeah.
And so, for regardless of what they say, and this is me just for me speaking, regardless of what they say for D23, I want to see the proof of concept happen. So if you say you're going to do it the next year, I want to start to see groundbreaking or something happening.
Yeah.
That suggests that, yes, they're really serious about this versus this, because that's what Universal did. Here's a concept art. We're building it. People are, fans are taking pictures of it all over the place, and we're giving you exactly what we're seeing.
I think they're going to do it. But what I don't have confidence in is how long it'll take them to do it.
Oh, there, yeah.
That's the problem, is how long is it going to take them to do it? I want to be shocked. I want to be surprised. I don't want reskins of current attractions. I don't want things that you brought in from overseas that we've already seen before. I want to be truly amazed by what you're doing. And I really do hope that they're going to do it, because it comes across bad sometimes, but we are all rooting for Disney.
Yeah.
And I just want to know that not only are these things on the board to get built, but we've already been working on them. We're going to have them done in like 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, we're fans of this stuff. We're just not blind to everything else.
Yeah.
And just refusing to accept that there is an issue. There is an issue.
Yeah. And I'm sure like someone like Rachel or you or me all kind of feel the exact same way. Hurry up and build this while my kid's still young enough where I can take them to and appreciate this.
Well, I'm young enough to ride it.
You know? Like, right. How long do you think she's going to sing "We Don't Talk About Bruno" before I can finally take her to ride the dang ride and she hasn't moved on to boys or whatever the hell else?
Yeah.
Then, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that is a concern. I've never thought about that. It's like if you're taking 5 to 10 years to build a not just an attraction but a land,
mm-hmm.
you're right. That comes into play, because these kids, if you got a kid that's 2-3 years old,
yeah,
you're talking about this being built by the time they're a teenager,
mm-hmm.
and they might not be interested anymore.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
That Big is
the
problem. Yeah.
Huge problem.
Cool. Yeah. So let us know what y'all think about that reaction of Iger's to Epic Universe. We want to know what you guys think about all this stuff, and your opinions are always welcome on this podcast. So to get in touch with us, stay tuned. In a few seconds, we're going to tell you how to do that in just a little bit. Well, y'all, we hope you enjoyed that discussion about all the Disney news that happened in the past week. Look, if you want to learn more about us, go to our website, magicourway.com. There you'll find our social media links, past episodes, and more. Also, to get in touch with us, to share your opinions, and they're always welcome on the show. You could do it one of two ways, shoot us, or both. Shoot us an email at show@magicourway.com, or call or send us a text message at 1-815-MOEECAN. That is 1-815-MOEECAN 669-4226. And of course, we have a couple of people do things outside of the podcast. First of all, we got Eli, Those Things With Comics. Eli, what you got?
Yes, sir. Yeah, well, you're out there on the internet. You're not fighting people on Facebook. Please always take the time to go to the Ivory Comics website. That's www.ivorycomics.com. You see all the work that I have done, such as Project Geisha, The Molly Be Damned, and Savages. All work is fully colored, over 20-some pages, and the only ad for them is for this podcast. So please show some support there. There's also blogs and interviews and, of course, a link to the Magic Highway podcast, so you never miss a beat, you never miss an episode, you never miss who said what, how they said it, and why did they say it. So please, as always, support ivorycomics.com. On social media, Facebook, I can be found at Eli H. Ivory. As long as you're a real person, it's a pleasure to meet you. But if you're a bot, I do not need to greet you. That is just too much stress going on there. I know when you're coming for me, though. Just walk on. I've proven these guys plenty of times. These bots, they just don't stop. It's crazy. You should make a ride called Rise of the Bots. Tell you what. But anyway, yes, Facebook.com, Eli H. Ivory. That's where you'll find me there. Also on Facebook, Project Geisha has a fan page here. So Facebook.com/Project Geisha. Also on Instagram, you can find me right there posting up the hearts and the likes, Ivory504. And of course, on X, I can be found at Hancock10166. So if you appreciate the madness, then you're just bringing me the gladness. Thank you very much.
And if you want to book a vacation to the East Coast parks or the West Coast parks, or maybe even Branson, Missouri, can you do that, Rachel? Can you do Branson trip vacation?
Yeah, I'm sure I could.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in Branson there. You could do it through Rachel, who works for Disney Earmarked and Universal Preferred Travel Agency. I want to get that in there because both people recognize them. So, Rachel, how do they book with you?
Yeah, the best way to reach me is to reach out to my email. That's Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, @magicourway.com. little shout out to a listener who reached out to my email this week and booked a trip, Eric Grubb.
Yay!
So thanks so much for that, for supporting the podcast with your vacation. It costs nothing extra for you to book your trip with me, and a little piece of your vacation comes back to support this podcast and this fan community, and it is so appreciated. You can reach me by phone if email doesn't work. My phone number is 978-432-WISH, W-I-S-H. And you can also find me on social media. I am at R Family Magic. That's the letter R and then the words Family Magic, all one word, on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok and YouTube. And yeah, I would be honored to help your group plan a great trip to pretty much anywhere in the world. And does it? I lost my train of thought, but it happens.
And of course, I want to thank the invaluable Captain Cajun Chavez Kirk for coming back on the show and gracing us with your presence.
Invaluable?
Oh, invaluable. Man. Somebody
I'm all choked up now.
Somebody has to stick up for Hollywood Studios, and you come in and you do it.
Yeah, and someone has to sit there and defend Animal Kingdom, and that is, beside the many other jobs you have, that is your job, as far as I'm concerned, at least.
Thank you.
I tried to bring some of the dancing and singing instrument playing critters up there with me, but it didn't work today.
Aww.
You got them all in your backyard?
I will take a trip down that Bayou Mountain and splash down in the Magic Highway Studio soon.
Perfect.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah, just, that works. Well, thanks, Kirk. I don't know what to say. It's like I picture Kirk sloshing his wet ass in here. After splashing down the bayou.
I try not to picture Kirk's wet ass.
Just, it's a daily occurrence.
Thank you, Danny. Danny, thank you for saying that. And Kevin, thank you for saying that.
Wow. I acknowledge your wet ass. How about
you
that?
You better acknowledge me.
Acknowledge
with
me.
With a finger up, you better acknowledge me.
Yeah, you hadn't lost a thing after 50. It's great.
The flood line.
And so, look, if you want to access all the info we just mentioned.
That's a wrap, folks.
Magic out. So if y'all want to access all the info we just mentioned, go to magicourway.com/about us. Also, if you want to elevate your support of the Magic Our Way podcast, go to patreon.com/magicourway. There you'll find 6 awesome tiers to support this show. And any way in which you can support the show is deeply appreciated. The easiest way to support us, and only cost a minute or so of your time, is to leave a rating and review in Apple Podcasts or wherever you access our show, whether it is YouTube, Spotify, Podbean, etc. We also want to thank you for being a loyal listener, and we always love hearing from our listeners. All opinions are always welcome in the Magic Array podcast, so make sure you get in touch with us today. So we say Quaharini. My name is Kevin.
And I'm Danny.
Magic out.
And you are. Bye.